Conference record has joined the conference.
Hello, everyone. This is... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Harold.
This is Harold Ogle, Program Manager of the Java Community Process Program Management Office, and I'm going to be talking this morning about JCP 2.10 and how that relates to your work as spec leads. So we'll go through a presentation. If you're listening to this recording later, the recording should be accompanied by a PDF copy of the slides. Those of you on the call now, I have the WebEx session, which should be showing the slides on your screen. If not, I've also sent the PDF to you in email.
Hey, Harold, this is Alex. I definitely see your slides.
Great. Thank you. So,
yeah, me too.
On this first page, there are a number of links to areas on the website that contain more detailed information about 2.10. Moving to the third slide, which is just an overview of the changes, particularly the changes that affect your work as spec leads. So there are three new membership categories, the associate membership, partner membership, and full memberships now. There is also a way to recognize people who are making valuable contributions to a JSR as listing them as contributors to your JSR publicly on the JSR detail page. There's a new type of seat on the executive committee. And there are a few minor changes to JSR timelines. Timing for how you submit updates to a review once it's underway, and the lengths of ballots. There are some other changes to 2.10 that we may get into. I don't capture them on the slides here because they don't directly affect your work as spec leads. Chief among those is the electronic signature process, which may indirectly affect your work as spec lead because it may make it easier for people to join the three different membership types. So moving to the fourth slide, talking about those membership categories. So there are the three membership categories, associate, partner, and full members. Associate members are individuals who wish to participate in the Java community process, but for whatever reason will not sign the JSPA 2, or their employer is unwilling to sign the employer contribution agreement. So the associate membership gives them the ability to vote in the EC elections for the associate seats and gives them the ability to be listed as a contributor to a JSR. Partner members are groups that don't have legal entity status, generally clubs or groups like Java users groups, and their membership enables them to participate on the executive committee in either a ratified or elected seat. But they have no, aside from the JSRs that where the executive committee is the expert group, such as JSR 364, which created JCP 2.10, they cannot participate as partner members on JSRs as either a contributor or a expert group member. And then full members are what we've had as memberships all along. They're the people who sign people or organizations who sign the GSPA2, and they have all the rights and abilities to participate on expert groups and on the executive committee and in the voting for the elections of the executive committee, that members of panel want. They can participate as expert group members. The voting, participating on the executive committee. They can also, if they wish, nominate themselves to be contributors to a JSA. If for whatever reason they don't want to be listed as an expert group member, or they don't want to be that involved with a particular GSR, they have maybe a small contribution to make and wish to be acknowledged for that contribution, and be listed as a contributor as well. Moving on to the next slide. Talking about contributors, I've already said this, but contributors are people that you'd like to recognize as having made some sort of valuable contribution to the JSR and the development of the specification. They are not expert group members. They don't have access to the expert group private areas of your JSR page, but they may be participating in your development efforts wherever you're doing your public development of your specification. And the contributors are listed on a separate area of the GSR detail page. So there's an area on the GSR page that lists the spec leads. There's an area that just below that will list the expert group members. And just below that will list the contributors, if you have any, to your JSR. And as I mentioned earlier, both associate members and full members can be listed as contributors. Moving on to the next slide. So just a little bit about your process as spec leads processing nominations. To be listed as a contributor, a person submits a nomination, much like they have done for years to get onto an expert group. So when a person goes to a JSR's nomination page, they are presented with an opportunity to select whether they are nominating as an expert group member or nominating as a contributor. So then you, as the spec lead, will get a notification in email that you have a nomination was submitted. And it will say whether it is a contributor nomination or an expert group nomination. And that email will have a link for you to go to jcp.org and your administration tab so that you can look at all the pending nominations. And the nominations will be listed whether they are for an expert group member or for a contributor. And you process them the same way that you have been processing expert group nominations. You decide whether you want them on the expert group or want to list them as a contributor, and you select your vote in a pull down and submit the vote. So moving on to the next slide. Just a note about the changes to the executive committee. I mentioned earlier that there is a new type of seat on the executive committee, the associate seat. There is a change to how that seat is filled. There is essentially an election for that seat from the body of associate members. They get to vote on who will fill the associate seat. And that associate seat is filled by a partner member or a full member that has specifically requested to be elected to that associate seat. But the difference for you as spec leads is really negligible, which is to say the associate seat, once it's filled, votes on JSRs the same way as any other seat. So the difference in 2.10 is how the seat is filled, but the behavior of the seat is no different. And the voting rules for your JSRs are no different as to whether a particular ballot is approved or rejected. So moving to the next slide, talking about the last difference that affects you as spec leads. The various changes to the JSR timelines. So there are three. The first one is that all ballots for JSRs are 14 days long. In previous JCP versions, different ballots were 7 days long or 14 days long. Some were 14 and some were 7. Now all ballots are 14 days long. Second difference is about publishing an update to a review while it's underway. Specifically, a review that has a ballot following it, which means the public review and the maintenance review. So if you're wishing to publish an update to the materials for public review during the review or maintenance review during that review, you need to supply them to the PMO within 10 days of when the ballot would begin. And we need to post it within 7 days of when the ballot begins. This is so that we don't dump a surprise on the executive committee who's going to be voting for the materials that you posted in the update. Practically what it means is if you need to post an update, there's a bug fix or typo fixes or something that come up late in the review, and you still want to publish it without waiting for another review for just that change, you can post it, but we will push out the beginning of the ballot until it meets those criteria of being the update posted 7 or more days from when the ballot began. And then the last change is around maintenance reviews. So maintenance reviews by default have a minimum 30-day length, but that's traditionally assumed that there are substantive, albeit minor, changes to the specification that are being posted with the maintenance review. There may be a product reason or some other timeline reason where you are pressed for time and you need to get the changes from the maintenance review out more quickly. Or what seems to me more likely, because we've had this case many times in the past, the maintenance review changes are really just minor fixes to typos in the specification. If either of those criteria are there, you can write to the PMO and request that you get a shorter maintenance review. And that's the change. You can have a 14-day maintenance review rather than a 30-day minimum maintenance review. What that means, just to spell it out, is that you would have a 14-day review period, and then you would have a 14-day ballot, because maintenance reviews are followed by maintenance review ballot. So it would still be nearly 30 days, well, it would be 28 days specifically, for the shortest maintenance review cycle. But that's the other change. And with that, that is my overview of the changes from 2.10 that affect you directly as spec leads. Now we can open it up for questions. If you want to have questions that are not on the recording, we can stop the recording now, in which case I will thank you all for listening. But if there are questions that you would like to have on the recording, feel free to speak up. I'll give you a few seconds, and if I hear no responses, we'll stop the recording.
Okay. Thanks, Harold. Thanks for the overview. We'll go ahead and post this, and I'm going to stop the recording now, so just give me a moment.